We as a committee do not pronounce on anything of the examination because we received a report from Dr. Falek and it was very good. We visited Western Cape and they are ready. And you know, I just heard this morning that we're starting with CATS and we'd like to congratulate our learners in the examination. But the thing is this, Minister, we will not speak to anything of the examination, this year's examination, until you made your announcement, your statement on exam readiness. And just oversight of it, but we're waiting on you just to make your statement. And with these few words, I'll open the meeting, and I'd like to know from Llewellyn if there are any apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, sir, we have received an apology from Honorable Dikobo, who won't be able to make it, as well as Honorable Madisha. And Honorable Masishi has also sent in an apology.
And then, she also sent an apology because she...
Ngubeni Ngulele.
Yes. She's in the International Relations Committee. And from the department,
do you have any apologies? Because the Deputy Minister Kuru comes with another departmental commitment which he has not sent to.
Yes, I forgot about that. Because he did indicate that is busy in Northwest when it comes to commitments of the department, and he indicated that you as Minister will be present. But we thought keep it as a surprise to everyone. It has been shocked when you see the Minister and everything. I think what we need to think of ourselves, because we know everyone, but I think there are people from behind Mr. Smiles, you know, that I'd like you to introduce yourself and our visitors we're having today. Obviously, now that is the departmental official, we know it. Another official that we know. I think our visitors introduce yourselves, please. Right at the back. And even you, Rajah, and then the person sitting behind Ms. Honorable Makubela. I'd like to know who you are. Thank you. They're from Chantel.
Good morning, everyone. Chantel Bow, ANC Study Group on Basic Education.
Good morning, Rowena Nose, Executive Secretary to the Chairperson.
Behind you, the Equal Education Corner.
Today is about the Parliamentary Officer for Equal Education.
Fine.
Ms. Diana Wade-Tumbabashala from PMG.
Thank you. Then it's Department of Official.
Hello, hi. I'm Gerald Patel from
USCA. Fine. In the corner. Myself from Eyewitness News. What's your name? Rahima Esau. From Eyewitness News.
Along with Kobogana from the SABC Radio News.
Very good. And then Jar, the parliamentary officer. We do know everyone within the meeting. You know everyone, Minister? Fine. I think it will be very important. Thank you.
Good day. I'm Troy Martin, spokesperson for the Minister.
Okay, Linda Chisholm, advisor in the Ministry of Basic Education.
And then since yesterday, we have our audit team from the department. And as we go along, everyone will introduce themselves. You like spoiling my meeting. You like spoiling my meeting. If it's not with Honorable, yes, then it's with the Minister. And I think we've got two more people that stepped in. Will you introduce yourself, please, sir?
She's from the last one to ask.
Fine. And your assistant? Who's assistant? Oh, sorry. I know, make such a mistake. No, I just thought an assistant would be scary. Oh, sorry.
Thank you very much, Chair, and let me also greet members of Parliament from the ruling party and all members that are here from the opposition, but also acknowledge officials both from Parliament and government, the media and non-governmental organizations that are present here, Chair. So let me start off by expressing my appreciation for this opportunity again to come and report to yourselves. And can say I was quite happy when the President understood that indeed it was this cabinet today that I have to come here and present the report to yourselves. So I am indeed very happy to be here. And also agree with you, Chair, that we're quite relieved that our audit outcomes were unqualified, because it really put us in a spin when we had a number of issues that the AG wanted us to resolve. And I have to thank our officials for speedily addressing the concerns that were there, which were mainly around ACIDI. But I think when the CFO speaks to them, they'll explain what the issues were, because it's issues that had never been raised with us, but that we were forced to account for. And we, I must say, under the acting DG, we were able to resolve in time before getting audit. So we're quite relieved when we're able to resolve those matters. So, Chair, once more, let me thank you again for this opportunity, because it is for us a very important briefing with regard to our accounting processes. It is by way of this annual report that we get to explain both to yourselves and electorate on how we have performed as a department in a given financial year. It is in this way that we get to show again our people that there is indeed value for investing in basic education, and also partnering us in basic education. And in this way, to show how we've used the public resources in a manner that promotes and serves the public good. So this year's report, which was tabled in Parliament on the 26th of September for purpose of oversight, was intended to do the same. And the best way to assess our activities in the last financial year would be to locate them in the context of commitments that we made at the beginning of the term, of the office of term, with the sole purpose of translating them into actionable programs, the election manifesto on whose basis the ruling party was voted into office. Indeed, in 2012-2013, Chair, our strategy was to build on the achievements and milestones that we have built in the past, and also to tackle the ongoing deficiencies in the system. In 2009, we did make bold to say that the priority is to focus on those areas of our work that will have a measurable, sustainable, and long-lasting impact on schooling in South Africa. So accordingly, Chair, we did provide a blueprint for turning schools around with clear objectives, outputs, and outcomes. And as a sector, we gave South Africa a long-term plan, the action plan to 2014, towards the realization of schooling 2025 to drive and direct change. So in keeping with government's outcome-based approach to governance, and mindful of the position of education as a top priority, we were able to align this action plan to the delivery agreement for basic education, ensuring heightened implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of output and impact. We have taken some bold steps, Chair, best to realize the sector priorities, and have initiated strategic interventions that will provide a solid foundation for a high-performance system. So So I won't go into detail the officials, because what we've agreed is the department, the CFO will deal with the financials, and the acting CEO will deal with the content. So I'm just running through just high-level input. So over the past year, encompassing the reporting year, we gave serious attention as government to the fundamental issues of access, of equity, efficiency, and quality in educational provision. And this for me is very important, because sometimes when people access the system, they don't really look at what are normally the key indicators used to assess education. You have to assess education on the basis of access. Just as the way, on my way here from the airport, there was a huge debate in one of the radio stations about Bantu education being better than the current education. I was saying, we can debate that, because I'm not sure when we inherited almost 80% illiterate people. How did we inherit literate people at the rate of 80%, which is an access issue that is not considered today, that through Karikude we've been able to move the frontiers. But I think it's an issue that we hope to engage with yourself. And we believe that there's no better way than the path we've taken, cognizance of our history, characterized among other things by exclusion on racial grounds, the poor resourcing in the past, and limitations in terms of equal access to quality education. In addition to sustained strategic focus on the three T's, which is teachers, text, and time on task, we've mounted impactful interventions to drive all our key priorities. Again, we'll be able to report what progress we've made in terms of text, but also how we've also focused on task. These encompass our successful phasing in of CAPS. So in 2014, we'll be doing the final phasing in of CAPS, broadening and institutionalizing the annual national assessments. We'll be aware that we've written the annals, and we will be releasing results soon. Members will also know that in the last quarter of 2013-2014, we have distributed around 114 million workbooks to schools around the country, in line with our goal of expanding learner access to books. Again, we'll also be able to show figures or statistics in terms of how gradually we've been able to improve access to resources in our schools. And we have developed a new model for production of textbooks with partnerships on, for instance, open source with the Chatsworth Foundation, the Siavula Books for Maths and Science, which are given freely to grade 10s and 12s. And I can assure you, Chair, from experts experts have evaluated the material, say it's the best books in the country on these areas, because they were written by experts in our country. As a department, we have developed a draft procurement policy and clarified RTM processes, including a sector plan and time frames to be followed by all provinces. And we are monitoring this as a department on a continuous basis to ensure that indeed the RTM procurement and delivery remains a priority and is on track. We've also made serious inroads in some targets that we have set around important matters of accelerated school infrastructure. We're excited, I think we're also quite excited, Chair, the person from the Eastern Cape, that almost every week there's a school that we hand over in the Eastern Cape. So we've accumulated enough stock, and we can assure you that even next year we'll be on a weekly basis handing over schools in your province, including other provinces. And again, when we report, we'll indicate how many schools in which provinces and when are we going to start receiving them. Chairperson, without going into much detail, which is the task of the DG, which, as I said, I want to say that we've made gains in ECD. It's working very hard in our endeavor to realize universal access. We began implementing progressive and sound policy on teacher development with the support of teacher unions. So our collaboration with teacher unions is working very well. And again, we give you numbers of teachers that we've trained in partnership with teacher unions. We have prioritized district-based development. We have been having ongoing quarterly meetings with district directors to make sure that indeed we can have a seamless system in the sector. We have created a platform for a more open, honest, and constructive engagement in the challenges and the mitigating factors in delivering curriculum support to schools. We've also laid a foundation for the implementation of the NDP. If you recall, Chair, you were present. We've launched the National Education Collaboration Framework, and even there we're making very impressive progress, and we will be able to announce quite soon quite exciting. I'm really confident that this is just one key lever which is also going to help us to continue to accelerate change in our system. We have similarly worked through NIDU to ensure that the unit is well-resourced, properly structured and fully functional. As you are aware, we've received the first report and we're expecting another report next year. And we are using the findings of the first report to inform the work that we do in the system. We will also report on our poor programs around no-fee schools, school nutrition, scholar transport and other areas with all the challenges but also progress. We will be making, as you say, Chair, announcement about our readiness for school for 2013 matric exams, and I've said on many platforms we're as ready could be. We've audited all our provinces and are very ready to give a very credible exam system. You'll be aware that our exam pass rate improved from 64% in 2008, and last year we achieved the highest results, matric results, in post-democracy, but the highest pass rate also for Africans is in the history of this country. So we had more African kids because we also have to measure in other respects. And the number of matrics have become ready for bachelor's, it has doubled in the 12 years. We've moved from 70,000 in 2000, and last year we produced more than 136,000 bachelor's, let alone your diplomas and your certificates. And so we commit to build on these successes by focusing on improving quality of learning outcomes in all grades across the system, while continued interventions aimed at improving the pass rate and the quality of passes in our national certificate. So in this context, we'll be aware again, Chair, that we've set up a task team that looks at broadly all metric-related matters, your pass requirements, the quality, the assessment of the NSC, but also the management, the administration of the results. And we have been assured that we will get the first draft end of this year. I think we'll get the final draft early next year, but work is underway. As you indicated, Chair, we also will report on progress and work that we're doing to open the Eastern Cape. And can say, again, I'm very excited about the Eastern Cape, that despite all the difficulties, they've been able to move from disclaimer to qualify. And when I spoke with the AG, and the AG assured me that had it not been of long outstanding matters that were still unresolved, if he was to evaluate the province just on 2012, the province would have gotten an unqualified report. And we're excited that indeed for the first time we've been able to identify where the bleeding is and have stopped the bleeding. And I can assure, I think, members here without doubt that in less than 2 years the province would have completely, especially in terms of financial management, come out of the red. And I'm quite excited about it. Quite disappointed that we couldn't get Limpopo also out of a qualified program, but we'll also report how we've been able to also manage the bleeding in Limpopo in terms of the excess teachers. And as I say, we're doing lots of work to start to align our action plan to the NDP. So lots of work is happening, and the National Collaboration Framework is part of the alignment. And some of the programs are already underway. We should be able to report that. And we want to accept that education will not be a panacea for all our country's socio-economic challenges, which sometimes, fortunately or unfortunately, we expect that if there's teenage pregnancy, the school has to account. There's drugs, the schools have to account. So we're saying the fact that we're saying education must be a societal issue, it means some of the problems on our own, without our people being part of the solutions, it's going to be difficult to address them. We're committed to do as much as we can, but we continue to make the call that you can't educate the nation without the nation, and the nation is always to come and work with us to ensure that indeed, as a South African nation, we can proudly turn our fortunes around. Chair, I don't want to take much of your time, as I said, we've agreed with the office that the acting DG will make the main presentation to be led by Ms. Nuga, who is responsible for the monitoring of programs in the department. So Delu and Nuga will make that presentation under the leadership of the acting DG. And the CFO is here also with the whole team from the finance management system. They'll also lead us with your financial reporting. But thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. And again, thanks, members of the Portfolio Committee, for giving us this opportunity to come and report back to yourselves.
Thanks a lot, Honourable Minister. Ma'am, the assistant matter that we brought in more chairs for everyone to sit comfortably. Thanks a lot for the report that you gave us. I would like to ask the acting DG, how long do you think this report, how much minutes do you need? Because this is an 80 pager and it's a bit long. And then we'll make a decision, yes?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we'll take 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
even
minutes. With the CFO. With the CFO, 20 from Ms. Nuga Diliwe, and the CFO will come in 10 minutes.
No, fine.
Thanks
for that.
She may do it in 5, she said.
All right. Thanks a lot for that, because we'd like to ask questions on the report and have enough time to interact with the department. You may start, ma'am, or are you first going to start? All right, fine.
Before we start, we've got two documents. Can we just be sure which one we're working from? The one is white on the front page, and the other one looks the same but has got shading on the front page.
Thanks a lot for that. But let us, you have your report, ne? On from Konshana? Yes.
Fine.
All right. I just hope I'm sticking to the same report. Thanks a lot. You may start, madam.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm going to try to focus on the annual report that pertains to the National Department of Basic Education.
Yes.
That's the parameters of this particular presentation. And I'm going to skip the first part, which is included in terms of the context that the Minister had, Honourable Minister, spoken about this morning, and then focus really on programme performance, particularly in relation to the table and the variations or not, and positive and negative variations in terms of programme performance. So I will then go straight then to slide number 19 and slide 20 with a note that most of the information, the targets, the programs are based on issues that have biannual and annual targets because of the complexity and because of the monitoring and reporting requirements related to learner performance, for instance, etc. Those things happen once a year. In the majority of cases. So I'm going to go straight to the program performance section to say that the department has 5 programs. Administration, curriculum, policy support, teachers and education, human resources, planning, information assessment, as well as education enrichment services. So those 5 programs are what I'll be talking to. This really does, this slide shows the split between those areas where we have quarterly targets in terms of operational work, as well as the ones where we have annual targets. And you will see that 8 in 10 of these targets are necessarily annual targets. Program 1. In terms of the performance indicators of Program 1, the annual performance plan 2012-13, the program is responsible for staff development, for internships, for improving the employment outcomes of interns who participate, but also for international relations at that point in time, and legal services. In respect of the targets for 2012-13, as per the APP, we had a positive variance of 70. In terms of internships implemented, a positive variance of 32. And in terms of employment outcomes of interns, positive variance of 9%, both inside the department as well as outside the department, The department has an internship program where interns are trained in the technical areas of the work, so it makes them more marketable, and we have some more networking in terms of their ability to compete with in the labor market. We also have a situation where we have two reports within the annual cycle of the relationship, really highlighting South Africa's role and participation in multilateral bodies and international affairs in the area of education. We have also had quarterly reports on legal cases instituted, and I know the portfolio committee presented with information on those reports, the nature, on a quarterly basis. Similarly, legal cases that are concluded or that are in process within the education sector by type and province, we compiled for 2012-13. Moving to the heartbeat, if you like, of the sector, Program 2 and Program 3, to a certain extent, curriculum policy support and monitoring. This program deals mainly with the CAP, the curriculum review reform process, but also the institutionalizing that through CAP, but also through partnerships with the training, the branch responsible, program responsible for training teachers. So in this particular year, highlights were the CAP implementation in the intermediate phase and grade 11, as well as preparations for implementation of in grade 12 and the senior phase in 2014. Training in the certification, the certificate, training on the certificate in primary education language teaching in support of ESAL, English First Additional Language, was a key implementation highlight and achievement in this area. And the ministerial task team audit of reading programs was finalized in order to enrich reading programs across the sector. Combined with the NIDU report, it really provided a lot of input and feedback on what we would need to strengthen reading literacy, particularly in coming years. And this was a significant input in the sector. An impact evaluation of reception grade was finalized in the year under review, and a diagnostic review of early childhood development, which is a very important component of basic education, which has expanded exponentially in the last 10 years from participation in grade R, reception grade of 30%, to 2011-2012 participation rates of over 90%. So the majority of children, 9 in 10 children coming into grade 1 in the country, have been exposed to early childhood development, something that was unheard of pre-1994. There's been a lot of work on the adaptation of workbooks for Braille, which was completed in the year under review, as well as teacher guidelines for sign language. The HRD strategy for inclusive education was also approved in 2012 and made available to provinces and higher education institutions in an effort to match supply and development of professionals in this particular subsector, which was highlighted as a critical priority in 2013 by the ministry. Similarly, then, the 3-year plan for the development of the National Catalogue of Textbooks coincided with the phased-in implementation of CAP, and between 2012 and 2013, the following national catalogues were released, and they are listed in the slide 30 in front of you. We also had the institutionalization of the basic education sector plan for LTSM procurement and delivery in all provinces. The Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation has highlighted this, and the DPSA have highlighted this as a plan which is a model for procurement and for predictability in operational planning in the public sector. So although there are some challenges in some areas around how consistently provinces and these processes work, this particular plan is groundbreaking in terms of how things happen in procurement and delivery of LTSMs in all provinces across the country. The National Guidelines for School Libraries and Information Services were launched on 13th of August to support the consolidation of the culture of reading in public schools. And taken together with the NIDU input, as well as the reading audit, provide opportunities and for in the sector of different models for reading, for supporting reading at classroom level, and different ways of mechanisms for doing this throughout the country. Just in terms of program two outputs then, we have exceeded the number of schools with access to electronic content. We have also exceeded the digitized workbooks, aligned resources. When we talk about aligned resources, we're talking in terms of the curriculum requirements, especially for use in underperforming schools. A lot of the work that has been done is in terms of underperforming schools, where there are challenges related to quality of teaching and where we find that e-resources can help to overcome those challenges, in that the teachers, the learners will be learning the technology applications as well as the curriculum, and there's a lot of traction in terms of the absorption of that, those kinds of learnings, but also children are more motivated and more excited by the computer work that's been done, in addition to the workbook-related curriculum coverage. The e-education strategy has been released, and work is being done in the current financial year, so the one that we're sitting in now, to just make sure that there's enough capacity to realize this in the coming period. Similarly, we've exceeded the number of subject advisors orientated in CAPS by 1,003 in the 2012-13 financial year. So a lot of work has been put into that, and it's yielding results. Slide 33 then, we're looking at the multi-grade training of teacher training. Similarly, this target has been achieved and actually exceeded. We have 11 more teachers and officials trained in multi-grade teaching support, as well as resource mobilization. In respect of literacy, numeracy, and literacy and numeracy levels, we have had some improvement in the 2012 ANA, but also areas of concern, particularly in the poorer schools in poorer quintiles, in the lower quintiles. Similarly, we've also had concerns around underperformance of schools in the higher quintiles relative to what one would expect, considering their resource level. And some of the policy interventions have been around this particular area. And again, the portfolio committee has received detailed presentations on the ANA results at grade 3, 6, and 9 level. Minister spoke about the number of learners, grade 12 learners, becoming eligible for bachelor's program at university at the highest level of almost 137,000, taking into account the supplementary examination, an increase of 1,000 over the 2012 matric, but under performance in terms of the 149,000 that was articulated in the action plan based on 2009 data. It must be emphasized, however, that these targets were developed in 2009, and they didn't take account of what the Statistician General has identified as a concern around the demographic shrinkage in the 2011 cohort as a result of fertility rates 20 years ago, firstly, but also secondly, in 1999, there was the admissions policy, which effectively institutionalized the shrinkage of the admission, the admitted cohort. And we had the smallest cohort of 18-year-olds in the system, in schools, in 2011. And as a proportion of that, then, the number who passed were smaller in absolute terms, but in relative terms, we had 26% of young people getting through. And similarly then, for the next two indicators, our tables that you have in front of you are very clear about the reasons for it. We didn't take account of, thank you, we didn't take account of demographic shrinkage as per Stats SA data, and therefore what we have done in the time is to focus on pass rates, and the pass rates have increased from 61% in 0.3% in fiscal science, as opposed to 53.4% in 2011, as well as the number of passes, which increased to 110,000, particularly in key subjects. The pass rate, also Minister has spoken about, the percentage of schools having access to library information services has also had the latest available data for this indicator is 51%, but that information is 2011. We have in the commissioned an audit of library information services to make sure that we have information to verify exactly what the different models of library across in INA schools are and what prevails in terms of access to library and information services. In terms of percentage of learners with a textbook for each subject, the focus has been on the target for 2012 was 85%, and according to the figures that we have, 2012-13, 99.4% of grade 4 to 6 and grade 11 orders were delivered to school in that period, because that's when obviously the CAPS implementation was in those grades. Similarly, the number of learners who have received workbooks, 10.3 million was the target, and we exceeded that by 10.9 by delivering to and distributing to schools for 10.979 million learners. Learners enrolled in Karihude, 630,990. We have exceeded that target by 35,000, and the information available on the expansion really of the Karihude math literacy program. And similarly, completion rates have improved. So not only are we getting more through faster, they are also competing in higher numbers. Very important achievement for the sector. Similarly, then we've achieved and exceeded the targets for 2012-13 for district offices, as well as for district offices trained or officials trained in screening, identifying, assessment, and support of for inclusive education interventions, as well as schools with teachers who are trained. So positive variances have been achieved. I'd like to also point out that because the positive variances achieved doesn't necessarily mean that we under-planned or under-budgeted or under-targeted, but training is something that doesn't, just because you have one or two extra people, doesn't mean you have then one or two extra teachers or you need larger classes to do the training in. We managed to find economies of scale in the way that we structured this training intervention for Program 2. And similarly, the percentage of Grade 1 learners who have received formal Grade R, we're using the General Household Survey statistics for 2011 and the 2012 stats from Statistics South Africa are just being finalized. They've just been released. And we will then report on those in the next financial year annual report. Program 3, I'm going to go very quickly through. It is responsible for teachers, education, human resources, and institutional development. Here we have the issue of school stability in terms of provisioning of teachers and staff, and placement, deployment, utilization of teachers in critical subject areas, as well as the integrated quality management system, which supports effective teaching but also helps to improve the levels of accountability by carrying out school visits. We have a situation where one in two schools in the country, there are about 13,000 school visits from in the financial year. For purposes of IQNS monitoring, but also towards improving school management and practices within school within the system in support of curriculum assessment and delivery. Teacher centers have, a survey of teacher centers was completed in the reported period, and 112 centers are being positioned and resourced so that they can play a more active role in providing support to schools, but also teachers at those schools, and impact on the quality of basic education in the time to come. The teacher union collaboration, very important in terms of the teacher development program, and resourcing was made available to assist in implementing teacher development programs, in addition to the CAPS implementation that they've been working with the departments, the provincial and national departments on. Funds Alishaka bursary allocation has increased in terms of National Treasury and Department of Higher Education and Department of Basic Education work, and have the number of bursaries awarded has increased to 11,715. And a district-based recruitment program has seen targeted learners from rural schools accessing more Funza bursaries. I'm now going to take you through the slides on page, the information on slide 46 in terms of the catalog. The target for 2012-13, a guide to professional development programs, we wanted to be available freely on the website, and a catalogue of 150 short courses is available on the DBE website and has been circulated to all stakeholders for placement in terms of their access to information. Courses on EFAL, foundation phase literacy, numeracy, intermediate phase and senior phase maths and science have all been developed, and this really is focusing on the critical subject areas, and the actual outputs for 2012-13 are indicated there. The number of qualified teachers who are young entering the public service for the first time, there has been a positive variation of 1,427. The Funza Lushaka bursary system is a program is showing such positive news for us in terms of recruitment of new joins. It's amazing. Similarly, then, in terms of the number of bursaries awarded to students enrolled for initial teacher education, we've had a positive variance of 215 against our initial target for the financial year. And in terms of school governing body support, principals rating support services of districts, we have had a positive variance in terms of the target, but the data on information, the school principals, we're using 2011 data, because we were not able to sufficiently to collect the data in enough time to report in the financial year, but we will be reporting in this current financial year. In terms of Program 4, a lot of the work that Program 4 output-related work has been reported on. So what I will do is I'll focus really on their table. The reports for Anna have been released. The exemplar provision for schools has been exceeded. The exemplar provision in terms of support of matric has also been exceeded. The different subject areas where we've provided exemplars are there. But also on the department's website, there's a comprehensive list of all the exemplars, resource materials by grade, by subject, that I would encourage everybody in this room to visit when needed, Honorable Chairperson. Similarly, then, the technical report on learner performance in matric has been released, the national technical report, as well as the diagnostic, so that has been achieved. In terms of the infrastructure compliance with basic levels of infrastructure, the norms and standards work that has been done in the current year, as well as the information on inappropriate schools, mud schools, etc., is something that has been the subject, if like, of presentation to the portfolio committee. And the Department of Basic Education is in consultation at the moment on formally amending this indicator and updating the baseline, because the information, again, was based on 2009 data, which is not necessarily appropriate for 2013. Similarly, percentage of learners in schools that are funded at the minimum level, we are speaking to the presidency colleagues in terms of the baseline data, because the data really has changed in the intervening 4 or 5 years. Participation rates in our education institutions have been very positively, 98%, 98.8%. Efficiency rates have improved in that data that's available shows that we've exceeded this target, and 20 percentage points, as well as percentage of children who turned 12 in the previous year. These really are indications of grade repetition, the efficiency of our system. So even though the efficiency issues are off a low base, there is improvement. There's improvement in learner performance, especially in the lower grades. There's improvement in the repetition rate and dropout rate. We are heartened that every year we have 20,000-30,000 less students aged 7 to 15 who are out of school registered by Statistics South Africa. And we are encouraged by these indicators, which all confirm that something is happening. Children are going to school, and that really the issues of access are being dealt with systematically. In terms of Program 5, Educational Enrichment Services, the purpose of this program is to develop policies and programs to improve the quality of learning in schools. And this is the program where the leadership is driving the school health program, integrated school health program, which has brought health services to school, to educators, but also to schools and learners in those schools, particularly in terms of sexual and reproductive health. We have had a lot of work in terms of just targeting health and care initiatives in the schooling sector based on spatial identification of where the need is. We have had a lot of work that has been well reported, well documented on nutrition improvement. We feel that a lot of the access-related issues and a lot of the achievements in terms of reductions in repetition, reductions in dropout, are as a result of some of these nutritional, socioeconomic interventions in the schooling system. In addition, there's been a lot of work around curriculum enrichment, social cohesion, the involvement of children in understanding history, as well as singing curriculum diversity, if you like, at school level, particularly in schools which may not necessarily have had the opportunities to be exposed to these issues. So we've had a positive variance of 152,000 in terms of the health screening, positive variance of 267,000 in terms of learners who were fed, as well as and have had limited, less positive, if you like, in terms of the targets that we set for the APP, the linkages to look for between schools and police stations. We find that sometimes this link is difficult to make because of physical location, physical distances between schools and these stations, police stations. We've also had fewer schools reported by provincial departments actually participating in this Coral Estate Fraud than we had anticipated, but we were hoped that this year we will exceed our target. Similarly then, school sporting has taken off. We've had a positive variance of 2,612 and a positive variance of 58 in terms of adopted school. A lot of schools are benefiting from this, and they are showing documented evidence that these things are helping in terms of learner discipline and behavior at school level. Just in terms of performance, we've had a lot of work around the alignment of financial and school. We've had to do a lot of work around collecting information around the financial versus the school calendar year. We had, for instance, to really do a lot of micro work around gathering information on CAPS training because sometimes we've breached the financial year. Similarly, then, we have some sector indicators in the AP, in the annual performance plan, which has been have been included, which are not which have certain aspects which are national competency and certain aspects which are provincial competency, as has been spoken about in this particular portfolio committee. And similarly, there's a lot of work that we do which requires intergovernmental collaboration. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just to emphasize that while on this slide here in particular, that in order to strengthen our planning and reporting processes, we looked at in going forward in presently as well as for 13, for 14, 15, is to build the capacity of officials in the department, and we've intensified the manner of how we monitor and advise these officials in doing their reporting activities. Also, in providing that information, internal audit and the monitoring and evaluation directorate will be involved in data verification of all the supporting documents that are provided by the various line functions. And even in risk management, we are looking at a projection of quarterly milestones for the annual targets. And these will then be reported in the quarterly branch reports. And we'll follow the color coding that the Auditor General basically uses. And there will be interim. Basically, this work will be audited on a quarterly basis in terms of an interim audit. And so these are some of the measures we're putting in place to strengthen and address some of the areas raised by the Auditor General's report.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Members. Slide 71. Maybe I must start by saying I will start with the expenditure first and indicate the audit come later. Slide 71 indicates allocation of funds to the department and how it was spent or how much of it was spent. As we can see, Program 1 spent 98.3%. Program 2 spent 98.7 with 18.8 million underspending there. And then Program 3, the underspending is 43 million. I will come to, I'll explain the reason for underexpenditure in the later slide. And then Program 4 underspent 1.228 billion. They spent 84.9% of the allocated budget. And then Program 5 spent 99.6% of the allocated budget. And then this slide here just shows the allocations per economic classification. And the deviation column just showed the deviation or the saving that occurred in a particular item. And then there's a percentage spending on the item. Now, this slide indicates then the reasons for underspending in Program 1. In Program 1, the underspending was due to savings on office accommodation budget for the unitary fee for our building. Now, what this means is we have an allocation for payment of the office building that we have, but we make provision for CPI payment, but we don't know how much the CPI will be for a particular year. So this one was a real saving because the CPI, we budgeted more than the actual CPI, so we had a saving on that. But there was also underspending on vacancies in this program. Program 2, this one is the underspending on Program 2 was mainly for the Karibude program, but it was not underspending for activities of 2012-13. In 2012-13, we start preparing for 2013-14. So we have to procure material so that when classes start in June, July, the material is with the targeted classes. But there was a bit of a delay with procurement in this regard. So hence, there was underspending on this item. Then for program three, the underspending was mainly due to IQMS. What happens here, as we all know, we appoint IQMS moderators, and some of them leave during the year when they get maybe permanent employment and so on. So there was underspending on compensation for IQMS. And then there was also the, you know, there is this program, the teacher training in collaboration with teacher unions. This one, it depends on, we don't have an allocation from National Treasury for this program. So we wait to see if there are savings in the department that can be utilized for this program. So approval for this program was only received during October from National Treasury to allow us to use this money, because there was a bit of saving on the workbooks allocation. And then we requested treasury approval, because workbooks are earmarked funds. We can't just use that money. We had to request treasury approval to get to use the money for the teacher union collaboration. So the approval was received in October, but there was no time for training teachers, because it was time for preparation for exams and so on. So training could only take place in the following academic year. And then payments were made in March, but we couldn't pay all the invoices, as some of them were received late. But at the same time, there were other programs that could not take place, because the workshops could only take place in March, April, and May. So hence, there was a saving there. It was about around, I think, 25 million that was not paid on that program. And then for program four, underspending of 1.2 billion. There is a conditional grant for infrastructure grant that goes to the provinces. Now, two provinces did not spend all their money, or rather the department withheld transfers to two provinces of 10 million each. This was for capacity in infrastructure units in the provinces. These provinces had not advertised posts in this regard. So there was no point in transferring money, because they were not going to fill those posts. And then the second one was in regard of school infrastructure indirect grant. The allocation of the budget was underspent there as a result of capacity challenges among implementing agents and some of the contractors. And some contracts were cancelled due to non-delivery. Weather conditions also affected the project, and poor road conditions also contributed to slow delivery of the project. With regard to Program 5, the under-expenditure in this program is due to funds that were withheld for the HIV and AIDS and Dinaledi schools and technical school conditional grants. These were transfers to Limpopo province. They were withheld due to low spending in the province. Now, to the audit report. The department received an unqualified audit opinion with emphasis of matter, and the areas of concern that were raised by the AG in the report is a material underspending of the budget on Program 4, and this is the 1.2 billion that was underspent. And there was restatement of prior comparative figures, and this were with reference to accruals in the prior year. And this way, with reference to the RCD program. But then, as it was stated, with reference to the audit itself, the audit was conducted, and all the accounts of the department were done, and they were correct, and they were submitted on time. The only problem that we experienced during the current audit was the accruals. But these accruals were also with reference to the RCD project. We were depending on implementing agents to give us information, and we did not have capacity in the department to check if the information that they gave us was complete. Hence, when the auditors went to audit, they found some discrepancies in the information. But to remedy the situation, we are looking to getting additional people in the department to do the work. But in the meantime, what the department has done, they have external capacity to assist us to ensure that we cover this part, acid, to ensure that we don't incur the same problems again in future. Thank you.
Thanks a lot to our CFO. I think Mr. Padachi, the HOD or the DG, would you like to conclude?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In concluding, basically, the Minister did outline that where we started in 2009, and in the year we're reporting on, there has been remarkable progress. And in going forward, basically, we'll use the NSC and the ANA to leverage further further to improve learner performance, particularly in the area of the implementation of the CAPS, as well as consolidating our workbooks program. We have made good progress in the department to align our targets as articulated in the NDP, and we're presently reviewing those targets and refining the strategies we have in that regard going forward. I think the other issue is to indicate our learner performance and quality in ECD. As indicated, we've over the last 10 years we've made progress in terms of the integrated plan of government for ECD. We'll also be assisting our other sister departments with regard to the area of 0 to 4, as well as the area of grade R, which is the responsibility of DBE. So in concluding, I'd like to thank the Portfolio Committee for their contribution over the years, as well as in particular over the last financial year, and thank our Minister for her leadership, and that to indicate that the year we're reporting on, in absentia, our Director General, Bobby Subrayan, who was leading us at the time.
Thank you, Chairperson. You didn't give us a number of questions, so I'll start from problem one and come with my question. Is it five? Thank you. You said five.
No, five, but I don't want long introductions.
I never heard that.
No, but I mean, I'm just telling.
Okay.
I mean, thank you.
Thank you. Mine will start on problem, problem two. The introduction was just to appreciate that we're having a people in front of us. But then, what informed the choice of Africans? Problem two states that grade 11, and specifically, Africans as second additional language is like mentioned here. What informed that particular choice for that second additional language in this particular area? That was the first question. And then on program two, the issue of classroom libraries. How far is this taken up in our school, like in all our schools? Can we get some steps? Because I think this is going to assist South Africa becoming a reader-friendly country. And the third one is still on problem two, your multi-grade issue. Do we have any time frame to attend to teacher pupil ratio there? Because it's like the schools that we visited with multi-grade schools had very small enrollment. How far is that luxury allowed? And my fourth question is on program two, the output there on slide 40, number has been achieved, and but we're seeing it's like it's 100%. But then if are we being told that 200, it's only 211, can this be equal to the 100% that is alleged there? And my final one on program 3, the educator place issue, placing educators to the post establishment, because you go to visit schools and there are posts there and there are no educators. Do we have any time places we can be ensured by the department that by this particular time every post will be having an educator? I have to stop there because I have to ask only 5 questions for now. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. Honorable Gina, do you want to be last? Oh, but I will thank you. Honorable Moni, Honorable Makubela, because everyone wants to ask, oh, that's why I'm just mentioning the names. Yes, Honorable Makubela.
I think my first issue will not really be on the report by the acting DG and the CFO, but rather on the minister's comment earlier. One that relates to the provision of quality education, particularly those who from time to time want to refer or compare the current education system to the past before 1994. Just to indicate that this matter keeps coming all the time. In as much as we have stakeholders in education, who will partake or participate in the improvement of the education system. But there seems to be some consistent view that we may be providing poor quality of education. And various things are, or various issues are raised in this particular context. Apparently, we are not at one in terms of what do we mean by quality education. And I'm just calling upon the, or appealing to the minister that perhaps there's need at some point, whether it will be through a summit or whatever, need to, just to handle this matter and we be at one as a country. I'm not saying that stakeholders should not be critical to what we're providing, but there seems to be just talking past each other in terms of what are we referring to. Even the measures that are being used, even the credible institutions that would at times talk to some aspect of the education system, either comparing us to other countries like Botswana and so on, in terms of the investment being made in monetary terms and the outputs or outcomes from those particular funds, value for money and all of that. But I'm saying consistently, people choose what angles they will want to talk to in this particular regard. And I think at some point, we must be able to put that debate to rest at the highest level in terms of this discussion. The second, I've just noted that in terms of the organogram, there's a vacancy on the risk, the director for the risk management. And the risk management strategy may need somebody at that level to oversee it, or just to ensure that that happens, so that minimization of the challenges in that regard do happen. Lastly, for now, Chair, assured several times the country that there will be a handing over of the school, state of the art school, every week, consistently in terms of the number of schools that are being built. And even today, we are being, the nation is being assured of that. I do know that it's not more the buildings that we are concerned about. It's also in terms of what is being provided in those schools. So if we have quality infrastructure, we should also have a quality education system overall. That will be what the nation is looking for. But all I'm saying is, we need to do more in terms of communication so that as the country, we are able to appreciate what is being done by the department. Because in as much as in that particular area where the school has been built, people will get to know. But the money belongs to the country as a whole. So society should know that in some part of the country, this is what is happening, so that they get to be at the same level of understanding with the department. But in as much as in other areas there may not be improvement as people will be looking for, but it does not mean that not much is being done by the department to try and ensure that transformation, redress, is being done to ensure that ultimately we achieve what is there on program one, improvement of the quality of teaching and learning for our learners. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Lavmo.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the ACD schools program. That my colleague was talking about that. Chair, I was rather alarmed to find out that the schools that are being handed over now are the 49 schools that were supposed to have been completed in 2011-2012. They are not the 2012-2013 or the 2013-14 schools. They are the 2011-2012 schools, the first 49 schools, and those are being handed over now. I'm very disappointed that some of those schools were actually completed last year and they're only being handed over now so that we can do a once-a-week handover. So the question then goes to the 2012-2013, what is the 100 school that was supposed to be built in 2012-2013 and then the 346 in 2013-14. But particularly seeing this report is on 2012-2013, where are we with those 100 schools? And of course linked to that the various comments by the Auditor General on the handling of the ACD program or the readiness to handle the ACD program. And let me just comment, Chair, that I'm not unaware, I don't think any of us can be, that this was thrust upon the department. And that the department could not have had in place the competence to deal with the program. But it must now just be honest with the nation with respect to that program. Chair, a very short question. The school monitoring survey of 2011, I've asked for many times. And I was told in a ministerial reply to a question that I raised that it would be replaced on the on the departmental website on the 30th of September. Well, it's still not there. The school monitoring survey of 2011 is not there, and when are we going to receive it? Chair, I'd like a comment from, I'm not sure who, the acting DG perhaps, on the AG's finding that a total of 64% of the indicators in the annual performance plan were not well defined. It is very clear because many of the indicators are in fact not measured properly. They are measured obtusely, an example is textbook delivery, where there was a target set for textbook delivery, and what has actually been measured is delivery versus what was ordered, not how many children or what percentage of children have actually got textbooks in their hands, or the percentage of the number of multi-grade teachers. The target was actually per province. What has been measured is national. So I'd like a comment on that. And then my last two questions refer to specific slides. Slide 33, it's a very general question, but slide 33 was on ANNA results. The comment was made in presentation that there is some concern that even in well-resourced schools, learners were not doing as well as they would be expected to because the school was well-resourced. So what does that tell me? I'm being very simplistic. I realize that. By saying that indicates to me that the level of teaching is not adequate, that perhaps the subject knowledge is not adequate, or perhaps the competency of the teacher is not adequate. I don't see anything in response to those. I haven't seen anything anywhere, not only in this report, but in response to those figures that says we are looking at whether the teaching was in fact adequate and what to do about that. Where is a target in the new annual performance plan to ensure that we have properly qualified and properly competent teachers? Then the last question is referring to slide 47, which indicates that we appointed during this financial year, 2012-2013, 8,227 teachers. Total of 8,227 teachers entered the profession. SACE, the South African Council for Educators, indicates that they registered 5,561. There's a difference of 3,000. So somewhere along the line we've got teachers in our school who are not registered, or alternatively, and I hope this is not the case, who cannot be registered because perhaps they are unqualified. But why is there that discrepancy? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot.
Honourable thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to use my 1 minute of my 5 minutes to appreciate first the presentation by the Honourable Minister, and also to echo and support what my colleague Honourable Makobele has said about the quality of education they need for such debate. But to say, Chairperson, that the two systems, in fact, at the policy level, cannot be compared. The other one was really abominable. But there are components of such a system which can be compared, teachers being one of those components. So remember, Chair, that when ESLIN proposed and finally introduced the Bantu education system, some teachers left the country, but those who remained inside took a very serious resolution, and they said, we'll teach the African child as never before.
Mm-hmm.
So you can compare the commitment of those teachers and our current teachers, and that's a debate, in fact, that should take place. But having said that, Chair, I know we are dealing with the budget for the national department, but provinces are a barometer that show us how the department is doing. I was really alarmed this morning to read a report in the Mercury newspaper painting a very gloomy financial picture of the KwaZulu Department of Education, where they say, amongst other things, the infrastructure improvement in the province has come to a standstill, and other programs. And perhaps the minister must have seen already that report. Chair, I've got two questions. Under Program 3, the importance of districts has always been emphasized, and the department has recognized the importance of districts in pursuit of quality education. But the report says that the rating of districts by principals is not available. Now, that's a very important process, I think, and contributing factor in the provision of quality education, the districts and their evaluation and their rating by principals. And the report says this is not available. How soon, or what was the reason for principals in various provinces not offering their ratings of these districts? And also, still under program three, 70 million was allocated to unions for the implementation of teacher development programs. You know, one of the weaknesses in the system is accountability. One would like to know who's monitoring such activities, and has this have teacher unions accounted for to the department for the 70 million allocated to them? And also under program one, cuts. You know, when we were doing our oversight to different provinces, Eastern Cape, there was some teachers had not undergone training for CAPS for reasons the chairperson is aware of the reasons why. What is the situation now? Has the situation improved or not? And lastly, Chair, the achievement in ANA for grade 9. What the department saying, this is the first cycle, but 39% of learners achieved above 50% in their home language. Only 39% in their home language. What is happening there? One would expect in one's home language to achieve more and even better. And also, only 2% of learners achieved above 50% in what? In mathematics. Only 2%. And lastly, textbooks, provision of textbooks and the workbooks. What is the correct term? The third party, that is those organizations contracted by the provinces or the national department to supply books like to solution for research, whose contract with the department was stopped in Limpopo. Am I correct? Yeah. But
the same. Don't ask whether correct. Just ask the question.
No, I want the approval. Just
no,
checking
no
pace, you
know. I want no.
Which I've obtained.
And that's what I'm watching. Stop doing that. And the department, please don't give approval. Because
per your
not why not.
Per your instruction, Chair, I'll stop. I'll stop. I'm a loyal member of this committee. But now, the question is on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But you find same organizations doing work somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Like Air Solutions still doing work in Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga. Why? Can you get the justification for such? Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Smiles.
Thank you very much,
Chair. And look me in the eyes, please. They like approval.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me, if you allow me.
Chairperson, let me start also by acknowledging the minister's presentation and that of the department. And I've seen the minister on the front page in yesterday's paper. Maybe it's not yesterday's paper. The Vukuz and Zela government newspaper, in which the minister showcased the successes and the progress. And I would like to agree on one matter there, and that's the access to education, to schools. And also, in particular, the improvement and the progress with regard to ECD and great art, especially. But chairpersons, whilst we are saying that, I think the department needs to explain the table that refers to the concerns in schooling. I think from my side, I would say that table is incomplete. There needs to be some other concerns that needs to be added. But I think that just the explanation of the figures that needs to be explained so that we can fully understand. Chairperson, then, technical schools in the presentation, it might be in the books, in the TIC book, the annual report, but in this presentation there was a serious omission of technical schools, and I would like to know what is happening with regard to that, and why is it not why was it not presented this morning? Chairperson, you know why I'm asking this question is because you know the generic question, which I mean, in the Eastern Cape, I always ask this question: whether South Africa has received value for money with regard to what is happening in education. Then teachers. There is also in the presentation a silence on absenteeism of teachers. We know there is a lack of teachers, and some schools are struggling to get more teachers. But absenteeism of teachers is a serious problem, and the department was silent. If you look at the presentation of Program 3, which is teachers and HRD, I think that the department has shortchanged us in that particular program. Chairperson, then a CD in Program 4. Yeah. I indicated yesterday to the AG that we must be very much concerned that an under expenditure of 1.2 billion rand has occurred, and many learners find themselves in a situation of Bantu education conditions, if I may put it that way. So the opportunity cost of that 1.2 billion rand must be a concern to all of us, and the department needs to explain what improvements is going to happen. Then last, 82 million rand can be, according to the AG, can be regarded as irregular expenditure. We have put the question to the AG yesterday, and we need to understand, was there an investigation? Who's responsible? What has happened? And who are the agencies there that are involved? Why I'm trying to get the the details, Chairperson, because Mvula was sort of explained in the other expenditure, the receipts and the claims from Mvula, so which was outstanding. So we need to get more information on this irregular expenditure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks a lot, the Honourable Dina.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will have a few, Chair. My first one, Chairperson, I'm very much interested in NIDU.
Yes.
We hear of good reports coming from NIDU, but where are we with our bill? If ever we can get the status of that bill as to when we are finalizing it, so that we can see, we can be comfortable with what NIDU is doing. Chairperson, again, when it comes to teacher development, Chairperson, I don't know whether when we talk of this program, the CP,
I don't know how teacher development program. CP.
Whatever. You know, for me, Chair, I would love to raise a concern around that. It's quite a good thing. It's quite a good program where we'll find our teachers evaluating themselves, being developed and whatever. But the concern that I would love to raise, this has been piloted for many, many years now, Chairperson. Really, if the department can explain to us, it's quite a good initiative. I know now even various provinces are busy with the training of such, but when are we seeing it in full implementation? Because looking at what is happening there, you can see that when it comes to teacher development, there is so much that we can benefit. It can even cut away all these complaints are getting about the state of our teachers, how they are being trained, how they are being developed. But I don't understand even now what is causing that program not to fly the way it's supposed to be. Maybe the department will have an explanation and such. Chair, on the issue of multi-grade schools and classes, yes, there is a number that is there. It's about 100 and something teacher that has been trained on multi-grade.
Mm.
Yes, it's good. But for me, Chair, if we can get a picture now as to say how huge this problem is throughout the country, and when we look at these numbers, what impact are we saying they are going to have, you know?
Mm.
I know as a committee, we've just visited two provinces where this is a problem, and it's quite a problem, really. Mm. Our teachers are faced with a lot of challenges when it comes to the issues of multi-grading, and there are so many learners that are suffering there. And I know that there is so much that the department has done, but if they can just give us a fuller picture as to say how huge this problem is, and looking at the numbers, so that we decide, oh, it can even target much further, is to say, come next year, we are going to train so much, so that we try to face these challenges heads on, because those are the learners that are suffering from very poor backgrounds, and I think in one way or the other, we need to prioritize them so that they get better education that they deserve. Jefferson, this year has been named the year for inclusive education by our department, of which I think we all welcomed it and we're happy about it. I think now we are moving towards the end of the year, and I would expect again the department to come and break and show us that, having called this year the year of inclusive education, what are the milestones that we can say, we can proudly say that indeed we have seen this year the year of inclusive education. We know, again, the challenges that are faced by those people that are very much vulnerable. The teachers, even looking at their results, matric results, we know that when it comes to those schools, when it comes to those learners that are faced by whatever disabilities, we find them that they are suffering. So I would love again the department just to speak to us on that one. Moving towards the end, Chairperson. Ufunza Lushaga Bazaars, it's one of the initiatives that our department came up with, and really when looking at the at what is being produced, we're looking at the new entrants, very young teachers getting into the system. It gives us hope to say, if ever less than 30 years are getting into the system and, of high number like this, we are assured that our system is going to be stable with good teachers. But I have to raise this, Honorable Chair. I nearly said, Honorable Minister, I know you are going to call me out of order. I'm talking to you. Yeah. I have to raise this. Sometimes we sit in higher education, and one of the challenges that we are usually faced with when it comes to the issues of Funda Bishaga, it is the timing of transferring these funds to various institutions, where you find that there are so many learners and students who are suffering, you know, and they face so many challenges due to the time the funds are being transferred. I wonder if our Department of Basic Education can look at that and try to rectify that so that this good initiative, as you are saying, can run smoothly and we find our learners not being faced with the challenges that they are being faced when it comes to those institutions they are being enrolled with. Chairperson, the issue of e-learning. Yes, it is a challenge, but we have learned that there are so many collaborative programs the department is having with Department of Communications and whatever. And I think we all believe that once that it's up and running, there are so many challenges, again, that you are faced with in the system that can be addressed, the issues of libraries and so forth. I'm just pleading with our department that if ever we can see them moving a little bit faster or on that one, making sure that our schools are being connected. Yes, I know there will be challenges here and there, but I strongly believe, and I believe they also believe, that it's one of the of the things that we can be armed with as the department to make sure that all of our learners have got access to quality reading, quality learning, and whatever, and seemingly it's not moving the way it is. Lastly, Chair, this one is my concern. Mm-hmm. You know, Chairperson, when we look at these programs for matric intervention, I know I don't know where can they be located when it comes to the presentation that we have today. The matric intervention programs that we find in various provinces, sometimes, Chairperson, they go a little bit overboard when it comes to the issues of budgeting and whatever. I'm worried about the sustainability of such programs, looking at the huge amounts that are just utilized maybe for a week for our learners to be, I don't want to say to be microwaved, but to be armed more for them to get ready for matric exams, because usually we focus on the matric exams. I'm just worried, really, to say what is it that the department can say around those intervention programs and the money that are being used to what's that. How best can we say in 3 years to come we'll see lesser of those intervention programs, but we see much being done during the allocated teaching time for us not to see the thing. Because for me, sometimes I think we're training our learners, even our teachers. We want them to be used to the fact that no matter if we don't do that much well during the course of the year, but we'll be having these programs where we're going to push more for our learners to perform. It's not occurring well, but let's hope there is something that the department will be doing. And last, we can assure us on the issue of CAPS training. We know there were disturbances in some of the provinces that to say have been rectified. That are we sure? Can you be assured that come 2014, all those who are with our last day of implementing this, of phasing in the CAPS, how far are we? Have you gone back to the areas where disturbances are and our teachers are well prepared for 2014? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
thanks a lot for that, Honourable Gina. I just want to say to the department before they said some things, you know, questions that I would like to ask. Normally when we receive your annual report, a thorough analysis has been done of it. And I don't think, you know, coming up with questions that were asked. No, people concentrated on the presentation, and yeah, and they looked into the book. But I would like to ask the department that will it be in order if we can give you that thorough analysis that was done, because it will help us too with our report we draw it up, and just answer questions, you know, within it. It's not much. I even got the numbers of the pages for you. You know, so it will be very easy for you to look at it. The Honourable Gina touched NEDO because I was interested in the status of NEDO. But when I read your report, I was interested in the litigation, because we have within the report 164 that you went through, and then we have 64 cases, and then there's still 9 that is outstanding, that's ongoing. But the annual reports do not give us the cost involved, and I think that is important. Then at the same time, what are you as a department doing to reduce litigation? Because to me, when it comes to litigation, it eats into the department's budget, and you have a core mandate that you have to fulfill. Because when you take when you take what the CFO spoke to us about, she spoke, she spoke to administration, and she gave us the savings you had there. But when it comes to litigations, it falls under administration. And to me, there is a slight contradiction, because what is the baseline then that you work on? Because look here, with each program we have a baseline. With litigation, what is your baseline that you're working on, and how do you reduce it? Then when it comes to early childhood development, I thought Honourable Gina was going to ask the question, because she's always interested in ECD and then inclusive. You explained to us in your report about everything that's been put into place. But there are grey areas, like the condition of services of these practitioners. And I think we have to speak to that. We are going to ask ELRC when we see them. But the department has a duty to speak to us on that. Because 2014 is the year that ECD will be universalized. And then at the same time, when I discussed this with my wife, she spoke to, the training. Because you do speak about the support you're giving. And you speak about that task thing within your report with higher education. And let us hear how far did you get? Because we need trained teachers when it comes to our ECD itself. Then there was another program that you didn't name. Oh yes, and then at the same time, when you speak about ECD, let us look at, because it's going to happen within schools. Every school should have a reception year. Now what about our special schools? And also the extension to grade R, you know, when it comes to inclusive education. Then there was another one that a person don't see within your report. The present
spoke about it, I think, when the president met the principal. And I think it was in one of the State of the Nation address. You know, the strategy to improve education standards when it comes to principals. It was that ACE program. What I'd like to know there is this program still continuing? What impact do the program have on schools itself, because it gets a leadership course, etc.? And do the department have statistics when it comes to that? Then when it comes to, I'm not going to speak to CD was asked, when it comes to employment equity, we didn't reach the 2% when it comes to disability. So I think the department should pronounce themselves on it. And then I think, too, what can be important, I'm not going to ask a question on it. We had a meeting with the AG yesterday, and they were the department was present, including the, our internal audit committee. And I think it will be important that the department just speak to certain issues that were brought up, because there were issues put to the AG that should have gone to the entity. Because the PFMA is very clear in section 63. You know, in one of the questions, there was a point of order on it. That it doesn't go to the AG, it resides within our department. And I think that it's a policy thing. The minister can perhaps speak to that. Because who sees it, that the recommendations that are made by the AG's office is carried out within the department. Because I know it doesn't come from the CFO. And then I won't speak, and I was a bit disturbed yesterday. You know that we question the integrity of the AG. Because the AG is the face of government, you know, to give confidence to the public when it comes to these reports that they look at. And they are independent bodies, because they don't, you know, to speak the truth, they don't speak to no one in this committee. The only person that they'll speak to in this audit report, they'll speak to the chairperson. Therefore, I picked up like certain irregular expenditure. They are so independent. They won't speak to any one of us on this committee. So I think perhaps we need to have clarification, you know, from the department itself. Because I know you have an excellent relationship with the AG's office, and that they are doing excellent work. And then I wouldn't ask any question on that report, because there were certain questions I asked yesterday just for the AG to clarify, and we accepted the outcomes. Thank you. Mr. Barachi, make a decision, because these questions are interwoven. You know, who is going to lead the different questions, please? Né? And then if the minister would like to start, normally we expect the minister only to do policy questions, but minister, if you want to do, part of the administrative, questions, the minister can speak to that too. So I'll open it to the minister first. Yes, minister first, and then I'll go to you.
No, I'll take the east ones and leave the top ones for features. Enough about the multi-grade ones, because every other speaker raised questions about multi-grade. The last count we have, I think officials will confirm, was 25% of our schools are multi-grade schools. So it's a huge number of our schools that are multi-grade. And I think all of us will understand that indeed there are instances where we can consolidate, and almost all provinces have been working on plans. We had hiccups in the Eastern, here in the Western Cape, where the implementation of the plans were challenged because of, I think, concerns about consultations. But almost all provinces in the Eastern Cape, they were targeting 700, they're working on them. Some are already even committed themselves, volunteered to say, we just think they're too. So it's happening from our side, but also from different sides, in Popo, KZN, and so there is a process to consolidate, but we're also aware that in some instances we won't be able to consolidate and merge. In your farming communities, the distances are just too much, you can't consolidate. So we'll still remain with multi-grade schools. And we have a very good experience from what, especially Western Cape, with the training and the resourcing in those schools which you can't close, especially in your farming areas. That despite the fact that it's small classes, they can also be advantageous. That you have a small class, you have 3 kids, 5 kids here, so if you use your ICTs well, you're able to divide your work, and kids are able to learn in a very small, manageable environment. And they've been doing quite well. And that's why we've trained quite a number of multi-grade educators here. There's an NGO which is very good here in the Western Cape, and we've been doing Western Cape, we've been doing lots of training. But some schools will not be able to close. But those that we can close, we're closing. And the other one which really it's a matter that Mr. Makubela and I think Robin Pujan has raised, this whole raging debate about quality education, and I quite agree with colleagues that we have to, well, it's a very helpful debate, because we're saying education must be a societal issue, and it's very helpful when the media and everybody really talks about education, so our energy as a nation are focused, but if it's not directed, I think as Mr. Makubela is saying, it really becomes a futile exercise, because it's not yielding results. And I quite accept your point that perhaps both as a sector and also I think as activists, we have to be able to help to direct the debate by providing information so we don't allow people to be barking at wrong trees. Because sometimes when people get into the debate, as much as we welcome this debate to rage, it then becomes a futile exercise if people are barking at wrong trees. I mean, on my way here, Chair, if you don't mind, from the airport, I think it was SAFM, and again, feel that it's a lost opportunity for a directed debate. People say department should focus on primary schools, and we're saying we're focusing on that's not what the issue is. People are saying we have to resource the sector. That's not what the issues are. We have to train teachers. There are programs to train teachers. What are the key issues so that we want the debate to focus so that all of us, both as government and society, were able to support what the president says, that education must be a societal issue. And colleagues have picked up some of the issues. Questions of accountability are key issues. Key issues that we really have to get ourselves going. But also the role that we all have. I mean, the last time when we were in the House with the debating about questions, I was saying, when we say you can't educate the nation without the nation, it's a very simple statement. Because the results are proving that even ourselves as a nation are not a leading nation. So, which means there's more to it than it takes the school. If parents themselves, and simply sometimes because of understandable reasons, young parents are chasing jobs, they can't support their kids adequately, it creates a problem because education is reliant on a strong capital. In the past, your affluent communities, wives would be housewives so that they can support their kids. So you have a very difficult environment that we're trying, and we need people to understand where the issues and where the problems are, so that all of us can contribute. And I mean, the study that we were indicating here, where Russia, in the last teams, they were the top country in terms of as a reading nation, they are the highest readers. South Africa, as a country, ourselves as adults, are at the bottom of being a reading nation, and our kids are following us. You know. In my language, they say animals walk the way their parents walk. So we're wondering, so you think that, and those are what you want the debate to be from. So I really think colleagues are right to say, let's get the debate right. So that we can really all of us channel our energies properly to say, when you say about education, let's not fight about it. Let's understand what is it about it that we say they are comparable or not comparable, so that we channel energy. And I think it's a very helpful debate that we should. And I think it's a useful debate, but as I say, my concern is that it's very misdirected because it's not properly directed about what is happening, what is not happening, what the challenges are. Ourselves here in the house, we know as a sector what the challenges are, but everybody wants to participate. It's barking at all different, just making noise, which is not very helpful. Whereas that noise would be very helpful. The other point I really want to, and I'm just picking up the easy ones, the issue about the delivery of schools, but I think we also have to be, so that we're not disingenuous in our debate. We never hid the fact that in 2011 we met snacks around delivery. But we've reported that so many times. So you can't be repeating the same report. You've reported it. And we explained what happened, and I can repeat this. So indeed, I think it was not imposed on us, but there were different delivery mechanisms which were agreed by us and Treasury. The Treasury will issue money, will identify schools. Treasury will issue money, CBSA will deliver. And that model did not work. And that's why, and we reported, and that's why we had to strengthen CBSA's capacity and begin, after that model didn't work, to build capacity in the department. So we've never hidden about that we can deliver. We can report that we'll begin to receive schools this year, for this financial year, the schools that we're going to be receiving this year. So we didn't wait for the schools to pile up. That's why we're handing them over by week. There are just too many to keep. So it's not even any stance or political thing. There are just too many schools. We're getting MCs to deliver them for us. We're getting ministers, deputy ministers, just to get rid of the stock that has accumulated, because we're beginning to receive new stock from the old stock. And again, we are building our capacity. So, as I said, we're not hiding anything. We've done this before. Member Lachman is raising also a very important issue to say, even in what is our good schools, why are the international studies saying we're not doing well? And that's why these international studies are very helpful. I sometimes hear South Africans getting a twist to say we're the bottom one in the world. And I say if there are 46 countries which went for tests, they don't represent the 192 countries in the world. You go to a marathon because you're trained. So if you come last, it doesn't mean that you're not fit to be in the marathon. So we go and participate because we're confident of our system that we can benchmark. Even if we finish last, we are fit to compete. So we're bottom in those countries that are participating. But what is very helpful about this test, it really, because we're benchmarking ourselves against the best in the world, right? Against the marathon runners. And we get to say, to on and on, learn, and that's why we go there. Not to really be number one or number two, to learn as to, because we want to be competing with the best in the world. Where are our weaknesses? And they just get revealed, for instance. One, as I said, I've indicated before, that as a nation ourselves, we're not geared to support education, because education is a very solid human capital. And that's why kids from affluent communities, where the support for education perform well. So that's one factor that keeps on reinforcing itself. You see, countries which are stable, like Singapore and other things, Finland, where there's real focus and reverence for education, things work, go well. So it's also human capital in those countries. So we learn a lot. We also learn that in our affluent schools, that because we don't do differentiated teaching, our kids learn at the pace of the slowest. So if you have an average child, the teacher has to wait for that average child to catch up. So your first kids are held back. And that's why we just issued also what doing work on differentiated teaching. Mm-hmm. The studies also say we expect too little from our kids. And I can hear South African parents are complaining to say there's too much homework and other things. And the studies are saying if we have to compete with those fast runners, we have to do more. They are told in Korea that maybe that's, we don't want to go that way, where kids just can't rest after school. Those are the choices we have to make to say, do we really want to go into that fast track thing? So we have to choose models, right? For some of these winning countries like Japan, kids just don't. Do you want to really produce less and what are the consequences. And so those are the choices, but these studies teach us that even if we don't win, we have accepted that that's not where we want to go. But those are some of the things, Member Lovemore, which are coming from those studies to say why our kids are not performing. And for me, that's the significance of those international studies, not to be number one, but to run ahead of Japan. We run ahead of Japan, which is the sixth strongest economy, and then I'm told as a minister that have to run kids together to compete with Japan, the sixth, when even ourselves, we can't carry ourselves as a nation to be out of a developing world. So those are some of the things that I really think are very helpful also in this debate. So I agree, Nabo Mputan, we have to really sort out this thing. But the other thing also about which we also, when you say, you're quite right that national is a barometer of provinces, but we also have a constitution which says that each state, I mean, it's a rigged role even to go into a province and say, do this. It does, the law doesn't allow you. But what has been also important, and which is unfortunate, again, for provinces, is that provinces are really struggling because of the OSD2. They just can't keep with their budgets. It's a huge problem for them. They're not coping. And as a result, it's even difficult to manage their budgets because they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If they can spend on schools, then they won't have salaries. So it's a big problem. We're raising that with Treasurer to say the baseline of provinces has reached a very dangerous point that even your most efficient provinces are not managing. Right. So that's the biggest issue in provinces. All the provinces will tell you that we have a big problem. But the other question of Member Smart raised about bail for months. I thought that the value of education, you assess it in terms of what remains when the school has come out. And that's how I assess it. When you have forgotten all the facts about how the formulas work, what remains is what you see as the value of your education. And I think we can proudly say as a nation, our system is, as a nation, South African nation, we're running our country. We're running our economy. And we run that country on the basis of skills. We're not running because of that we're South Africans. It does show that our system does produce people who can hold the country. We're running our country, we're running our government, we're running our economy. We are priding ourselves to say since democracy has been middle class, that middle class has not been created by the fact that there's democracy. It's because of people who manage to get qualification, get education, and be able to get good jobs. So it does show that education reproduces things. But we can have all kids passing in, but if at the end of the day there's no product, then it means our system is working. But looking around, there's no doubt that our system is working because we are producing the necessary skills. We can look around to AGs. All of it, we're running our country, we're running our economy, we're running everything. So I'm quite confident that indeed there are challenges, we're not going to deny it, but the system is working. You will never have this middle class unless you have an education system that produces that middle class. We have kids who are doing courses that they would never have dreamt of, even as black kids. We have actual scientists, we have all sorts of high-skilled professions. These kids come from South African schools. Not primary education schools, kids that came through this democratic government. And I think colleagues who talked to about inclusive education, I'm quite excited that we, and I'm really grateful that we did declare 2013 an inclusive year. And I really wish that we could have done it, we could do it beyond the year, because just by doing that, we've been able to refocus the sector to say, yes, indeed, mainstream is education, but the slogan we adopted that no child should be left behind. And it's really helped us in terms of really making sure that we clean our act in areas where we're underservicing the sector. We have finalized the curriculum on South African Sign Language. From next year, we'll be training people, producing resources. So it's from the curriculum series from grade R to 12. For me, I'm very excited that we've managed to do that. Colleagues will tell you there's lots of work that we've done for children with Braille, how we've really ramped up our work around Braille, how we're ramping our work around training of teachers for these special schools. We're not yet. That's why I say for me it's regrettable that the years and I think that focus on inclusive education can slow down, but we did a lot. I mean, just yesterday we were handing over certificates for blind kids in Braille. which has never happened. So even our sectors are coming to the party. Umadis is issuing certificates in Braille. I mean, we're giving this young kid who got 7 distinctions in grade 12, who's blind, 7 distinctions in math, science, everything else he wrote. He got in distinction. We're handing him over his certificate, which he can interpret it himself. And I bet it was, for me, it was a moment of joy even for him as a blind child. But quite a number of things have happened, but I quite agree that loss needs to be done. So I don't want to answer anything, everything. I'm really grateful that you are saying there is going to be a report which you want us to respond to, and I can commit that we respond to. And the last one about litigation, I think colleagues will also answer. As much as sometimes litigation can be irritations, but they're very useful in a democracy, so that when people feel aggrieved, feel that their rights are infringed, so they really have the freedom to go to the court, even ourselves, so that everybody is held accountable. But I think what we are asking for is how much does it cost us if we can avoid it? Where we can avoid and really settle outside court. And sometimes the litigants, even if you say to them, I agree, this thing is a principle, then they jump around and celebrate. It's not an issue. What is important is that where we can settle out of court and we agree with the litigant, we settle. But where we don't agree, for instance, like the Rivonia thing, which had very serious consequences, if we had lost the case, you just can't not defend. So, and that's where I think we come from. But where we can settle, we settle. And where we settle, we can settle. But where we feel it's a question of principle, we fight. We have big battles with book suppliers. It's a big money issue. And if we cave in and not fight, we'll go back to square root one where we buy books at an inflated price, as a result, unable to provide enough food. So, but we'll give you more information. But as I say, again, we can respond in writing so that we give you figures and in instances where we've defended, why we've defended, where we've agreed with the litigants, why we agreed with the litigants.
Thanks a lot for that, Minister. It was very interesting. Mr. Barachi.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Colleagues will answer as well. I'll give the order, and we'll also give the audit committee an opportunity before I wrap up wherever the colleagues have not completed. So we'll start off with Mr. Mweli, the CFO, Mr. Skuma, and then Mr. Rabatapi, Nuga Diliwe, and we'll take the audit committee and I'll come in if the questions were not answered.
Thanks a lot. Everyone heard who has to start speaking, and just follow in that order. Thank you. Ms. Mweli?
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister, and Acting DG and colleagues. Chairperson, I'll just start by just indicating that the Minister might have missed this one. The Minister has indicated that she wants an education summit early next year, and I'm sure the issue of debating quality education would be engaged quite fully there. Of interest is that UNESCO defines quality education in a very comprehensive way. Human rights, social justice, issues of health are part of the definition of quality education. I just thought that I must just indicate that to cover that area. Also, in terms of what the Minister explains, particularly around your affluent schools, we have repeatedly said one of the issues that we focused on for the past 2 to 3 years is curriculum coverage. Now, the difference between your quintile 1 to 3 schools and your quintile 4 to 5 in terms of curriculum coverage is negligible. What does it mean? It means even in your affluent schools, you don't get enough teaching happening there. So it's one of those things that I think we determined to continue to focus on. We've made all of these things our mainstay in terms of monitoring, providing support, and providing advice to provinces. So curriculum coverage is one of them, and as the Minister correctly pointed out, for the past 2 years, we have now focused on curriculum differentiation. It's actually mandatory for teacher development that every teacher must be prepared in such a way that you are able to handle learners at different levels of cognitive development and reception. And the research seemed to indicate that our system is not doing well, as the minister indicated. The issue raised by Honorable Mponshana around 39% in grade 9 and so on, safe to say that we have come to the realization that the senior phase has been under the radar for quite some time. The senior phase straddles between your primary schools and secondary schools, and that is why it has been under the radar. Now, we've lifted up and positioned it in such a way that it receives more attention. And I'm sure the results of this year and next year should begin to indicate our attention in that area. And that applies to even maths and so on, simply because it's hidden, even in terms of resourcing. When you provide subject advisors, it's always foundation phase and then FET, and leaving out particularly your senior phase. So that accounts for that. And we have identified that blind spot. So the Edu Solution one, the acting DG and the minister will cover that one. Honorable Smiles, I think the minister, it's safe to say that the last two slides covered briefly technical high schools and Dina Lady. I know that Dina Lady and technical schools are one of your areas that you'd like to really ask questions on. The main achievement in terms of Dina Lady schools, technical high schools this year, is that we've been able to get the caps for technical high schools completed. Now, the analysis indicated that since 2008, when we introduced the National Curriculum Statement, which congested the 16 areas of specialization where you had well-being, mechanics, civil engineer, divided into 16 areas and were congested into four, we offered a curriculum which we call a bit elitist, which means the majority of the learners could not participate because the cognitive level was pitched very high, and the majority of the learners could not really take the offerings of those subjects. Now, the caps for technical high schools has revised that to make sure that we get more and more learners following the technical high schools offering subjects. I think the ratio worldwide is that any nation that does well is that 70% of your population should follow vocational education and then 30% should follow the academic stream. In our country, it's been vice versa. 70% is academic and 30% is vocational. So we want to reverse that. Acting DG, I think let me just then latch on to what was asked by Honorable Gina. I think it's Honorable Gina, in terms of the investment and the value of our interventions. Now, because of the deficits that these learners have been progressing with from the lower grades up to grade 12, then it necessitated for special programs at grade 12 to make sure that you bring them up to speed to meet the demands of the National Senior Certificate. Also because of the reasons that Minister referred to, you know, some of the affluent families being able to provide support to their children and even getting an extra tutor. And I've asked this question even to Umalusi, who then takes care of the children of the families who cannot afford to get an extra tutor. It then becomes the state's responsibility to bridge that gap. And until we get the curriculum coverage right, until we place all grades in the system on the same level of the radar, like we do with grade 12, then we will need special interventions, which are very expensive. and really going forward would like to get them reduced drastically, as it has been indicated at all levels of the system. The minister has indicated the progress that we have made in terms of inclusive education. We're doing more, and I'm sure if we get more time, we can demonstrate that this year has really been a year of inclusive education in many ways. And then in terms of the readiness for CAPS, the reports that have been presented to CEM and HEDCOM indicate that provinces will be ready to implement CAPS. There are those that, in fact, they are at different levels of readiness, but I think the meeting of CEM and HEDCOM in November and December will then get the full picture of the real state of readiness for 2014. But so far, the progress that we have seen indicates that we should be ready to even factor in senior phase and grade 12. ECD, Honorable Chairperson, the universal provision of grade R, I think it also applies to special schools as well. They allow. In fact, I needed just to indicate that one of the achievements that we have made this year in inclusive education is that in terms of access, learners of 5 year old, we have exceeded the 80% mark. Learners of 7 to 15 years, we've gone over 90% mark. Needless to point out that if you look at the data before 2012 and 2013, those figures were a bit low. There are still learners who are not in our schooling system, who are kept by families for reasons that I wouldn't really want to waste your time on. Thank you, Acting Commissioner. E-learning, what I can say is that we presented, I think, to the Portfolio Committee, and we did indicate that the implementation plan is in the process of being developed and finalized. It is now going to HEDCOM. It will go to CEM. And once it has gone through those main structures of the system, then I think we should be able to indicate where we are and whether we're ready to come and present to the Portfolio Committee. So it covers both the implementation plan and the strategy. And as the minister indicated, once we get it right in e-learning, it will help us in many areas where we are experiencing challenges in, including support to learners, teacher supply and demand could be areas where e-learning could come in handy. Oh, libraries. Well, the area of libraries and information services, I think the presentation indicated that 51% of schools do meet the norms, and about 57% of learners do have access to library and information services. We've presented a bit, as we indicated last time, to the Portfolio Committee, to National Treasury. I haven't received feedback as to where that is, and I think if the acting DG has any information in that regard, maybe he would be able to share. But safe to say that, honorable members, the world has followed the approach of saying primary school, you don't need your conventional, traditional library separate from the classrooms, but rather you need a classroom library, a corner dedicated with resources that the teacher can facilitate in getting learners to take and read and in monitoring learners how they use them. CEM, through the minister, has also advised that we get teachers to interact with provincial libraries, local libraries owned by local municipalities, teachers loaning books on behalf of learners and making those books available to learners. But just coming back to the point that the minister said, if the nation would really take this matter serious, parents will go a long way in helping us to deal with the challenge around reading, demonstrating to children how important reading is, but also loaning books for learners so that they are able to get into the culture of reading. Indeed, countries that do well in PILs, those countries do well in TIMS as well. You do well in mathematics and science, if you demonstrate your ability to read as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With the, respect to the question that was raised by Honorable Smiles relating to irregular expenditure, what happened with this amount? Or rather, let me give background of what happened. What happened is that we appointed a number of implementing agents in the department, which includes provincial departments and public works in the Eastern Cape. How, and we also appointed other entities as implementing agents. But what the department did, we went out on tender as required by the regulations. We advertised the tender for implementing agents. And then we received the tenders, but the magnitude of the tenders that we received, they were just too many. And the unit that is dealing with tenders did not have capacity to work on them speedily. But in the meantime, not to compromise this project, the department appointed entities like KUHA, IDT, CSIR, and Mhlathizwe Water, you know, to spread the program and ensure that it's not compromised. Hence, the irregular expenditure arose. It was the appointment of those entities, KUHA, IDT, CSIR, Mhlathizwe Water. I hope I covered all of them. But that's how it came about. But the tender did close, and the successful implementing agents have been identified. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The question on the risk management deputy director post that is vacant. First of all, we struggled a bit. The post was advertised. We struggled a bit to get the correct person to fill the post. We didn't leave it there. We appointed one of the audit committee members as a consultant to assist us in that that regard. We've also looked at the level of the post, taken into account the risk management that was identified, the issues around the risk management that was identified by the AG, and we've requested the minister to upgrade the post to a full directorate now, which will then fall under the internal audit unit. So we're in a process to advertise that post. The issue around the disability, ma'am, it is true that we're struggling to reach the 2%. I think we've only reached the 2%, or education has only reached the 2% before the split of the two departments, when education was only 1%. One department. What we are doing to do that is, in each and every advert that we put out, we request that people with disability please apply for these positions. Unfortunately, we can't force them to do so, but we take that serious note, and we really trying to do that. The litigation, I think the minister has spoken about, and we will put that in writing. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. There was a question asked about the issue of the placement of educators and the issue around the filling of posts. The issue around the filling of posts is the area that we continue to work with provinces to ensure that posts are being filled as speedily as possible. Clearly, there are challenges in this regard because of the movement of educators and the vacancies that continue to arise. Also the process of rationalization and redeployment that is quite a difficult process to manage in the provinces to ensure that teachers are being moved to areas where they are needed. So these are the areas that we are continuing to work with the provinces to make sure that the blockages that are there in the system are actually removed, so that we can have permanency and have more stability in the system. the issue around the adequacy of teaching and the question around the content knowledge of teachers from a teacher development perspective, it's an area that we have put strategies in place to try to address. One of those, of course, is the issue of the competency tests for teachers, in so that we can be able to identify the exact areas where they are being struggling, so that through this competency test we can be able to respond more effectively to the specific area where they are experiencing challenges. We do agree that there has been a delay in rolling out this, but work is continuing, and in the next year we will be piloting some of the tests that have already been developed in this regard to ensure that they are implemented and we are able to improve the content knowledge of our teachers. The difference between SACE registrations and teacher appointment, clearly this is a matter that we need to investigate, because it might mean that some of the teachers who register with SACE may end up actually not taking up teaching posts. But it's a matter that we need to investigate so that we can see where are these teachers actually ending up if they are not joining the teaching profession. The area of the importance of districts, it is true that the districts are really points where delivery of quality must be driven from. And there was a tool that was developed previously to assess the kind of quality that the district officials are rendering to schools, but there were challenges around the full rollout of that tool, and we are in a process of addressing those challenges. And this year, through the assistance of the monitoring and evaluation, we will be distributing a tool that is going to address this particular area, and we expect that around February next year we will be releasing a report in terms of the how principals rate the quality of delivery that they've been receiving from principals. We have tried previously to utilize the services of external moderators to say as and when they visit schools, they could then interview principals on their perceptions about the kind of service that they receive from district office, and we have reported repeatedly on that in our annual report. But obviously the challenge with that is that it is not qualitative. It is based largely on perceptions, and it is clearly not a reliable indicator about what the actual quality is in as far as that is concerned. The issue around monitoring of trade union activities and the utilization of the funds that have been allocated to the trade union, just to indicate that in this regard, there is a memorandum of understanding that is signed with the unions, and included in that memorandum of understanding is the question of reporting. They are required in terms of the memorandum to report at least 3 times on how the monies have been utilized. But just to also indicate that we are encouraged by the fact that these unions are now establishing a teacher development institute, and we are confident that through this institute we'll also address the question of quality of programs that these unions will be able to offer, because the programs will now be accredited and we can be more confident that we are getting value for money through that intervention. issue of the CPTD is one of the areas that we haven't really been doing very well as a department. We are working with SACE to bring about an improvement in this area. As we know, in the current year, there is a sign-up process that is in progress, which involves principals and deputy principals, and we will be focusing on HODs in the following year. And the plan is that as we are completing the sign-up of principals, the issue of rolling out programs now for this category of managers will then follow. The initial plan was that by 2016 there would be a full rollout of the CPTD systems, but we've got to make sure that we work hard with SACE to achieve that target. The area around absenteeism, I'm not going to comment on why it is not in the report, but just to once more, the issue of absenteeism. I think I thought the question was around the fact that the department is not reporting on the issue of absences. But okay, then I will leave that chairperson. Yeah, but the only thing that I also wanted to comment on around that is the fact that when our moderators visit schools, they also take statistics around absenteeism at all levels, particularly on the day when they are doing this. Then it's one area that we also report on the annual report for IQMS. Then around grade R, Chairperson, the conditions of service for grade R practitioners. One of the things that have come up is that clearly in terms of their levels of qualification, some of these practitioners are not really categorized as educators. And so work is continuing to try to assist those that are not educators to improve their qualifications. And we are working with the ETDPCTA in this regard to ensure that they can acquire level 6 qualifications so that they can be placed at least at RAQ 18 and be regarded as educators in terms of the Employment of Educators Act. Once that is done, then obviously they will then enjoy the conditions of service that are being applicable to educators. So that is the work that is currently ongoing. And the last one is around the ACE program. Just to indicate to the committee that the ACE program is being phased out. The department is working with partners and stakeholders in higher education to develop a new qualification in terms of the advanced diploma in principalship. We are currently interacting with higher education institutions to develop a curriculum for this diploma, so that it can then offer a better quality of training to this level of school management. There has been concern around the issue of the ACE programs, and then only one province for the current year has actually admitted learners or students for this program. So a number of provinces have now no longer offered this program. But through the advanced diploma, we will be able to ensure that we train principals that are of quality and that can assist us in improving the quality of management in our schools. Thank you, Chairperson.
future phases. I'm going to just address some of the points made about the variance. Apologies, there's a positive variance in terms of the SIAS training at school level of 111. The target was 100, and we managed to train 211. So actually, the slide 14, the positive variance is 111. So we doubled the amount of training that was possible, given the importance of inclusive education. The issue related to the school monitoring survey, there has been a slight delay in terms of just timing of the consultation versus the submission of the annual report. So we will be on the 17th of October having consultations with stakeholders before we release, as part of the PAC, the school monitoring survey and other surveys and research that we've done on the education system, the trends in performance and improvements and areas for concern. So by the end of October, the current calendar month, we'll have the school monitoring survey extracts and the analysis provided for general public consumption. The issue relating to concerns, and that's the slide that we're showing, it's clear that in-school concerns, in terms of the concerns of the household survey, which is basically a survey of 30,000 people in 30,000 households in the country, it shows that there's evidence relating to the information around concerns. And what we've done is we've showed the majority of concerns that in 2002, where one in five people, for instance, one in four people had concerns around the lack of books, fees, concerns around facilities, etc. And those have really dropped. There will be other micro level concerns at school level, concerns that are not necessarily picked up at that in terms of the level of detail in the survey. But a lot of the reduction in the concerns, the levels of concern, show that there have been improvements indeed, especially in terms of school level issues that have been addressed through provinces and national intervention. So that really, some of the other concerns are relating to sort of non-school factors, the unequal socioeconomic status issues, but also to recognize that in filling the gaps in nutrition, in terms of coverage, in terms of household level deficiencies, there are challenges in addressing some of these concerns at household level with our partners, civil society, etc. They are also working on the 2012 data just to see what the data is going to tell us about those and how that works. And I just want to make a comment in response to the teacher development challenge versus the expectations of schools at higher quintiles in the country. We know that there's inequality in society, and that translates itself into inequality at learner level. So in comparison, international comparisons, we tend to divide schools up into five groups or four groups and say the upper level in South Africa, which is a hugely unequal society, is similar in terms of we tend to do the comparisons between that and, say, a developed country which has maybe 50, 60 years institutionalized investment in education, but also in terms of the social network that the minister was talking about. But what we find in the highest quintile in South Africa is it contains effectively the majority, the population of white learners, irrespective of ability, versus in another country where learners are distributed between quintiles and the distribution is irrespective of race, socioeconomic status, etc. So you'll find that the highest performers in all races in other countries will be concentrated in the highest quintile, where diverse performers in the white population tend to occupy that highest quintile, as well as other races. So the average performance in other countries, in Sweden or Finland or wherever, is more evenly distributed, but across the different races, as opposed to South Africa, where we're looking at effectively the white population of learners in quintile 5 schools, and that brings down, if you like, the learner performance in those areas.
So there is a teacher development problem. We're not saying that, that's necessarily the case, but there's a real spatial, historical issue of spatial distribution, access to particular endowments of school management, infrastructure, resourcing, etc., that's playing itself out that we can see in terms of the comparisons that we see in the country. Thank you very much.
AG's meeting, not a meeting for basic education. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to refer to the audit on predetermined objectives by the Auditor General. I would like to mention that within the audit committee of the department, this issue was addressed several times, and the department is currently working on reformulating some of the strategic objectives. There is a problem also regarding predetermined objectives from public entities, which is a problem in the sense that Section 63 of the Act that you refer to, Madam Chair, directs that there are two, that the executive authority for the department as well as the portfolio committee are responsible for receiving reports from public entities and also checking that those reports, analyzing the reports, checking that the reports contain the information it should contain. Section 63B refers to the area where the executive authority may institute policy and procedures for directing, reporting, or implementing reporting, additional reporting structures for entities, whereby these reports can flow through the department. And the department will then have a legal basis to stand on when requesting quarterly reports, IYM reports, etc., from public entities. Until such policy and procedures are in place in the department, those reports should come directly to the portfolio committee and the executive authority, and we cannot expect from the executive authority to analyze those reports. It is really unfair to do so. So the department must employ the necessary skilled people in the monitoring and evaluation directorate to enable the scrutiny of these reports and also checking that the information is correct, and if it's not correct, sending back the reports and also to compile summarized reports to the executive authority of reports being analyzed and information being analyzed. So I just wanted to clear up this issue that the department's hands are cut in this instance. They haven't got legal ground to stand on. Madam Chair, thank you. I think that is okay. There's just another little thing. You mentioned the litigation area. Litigation expenditure in the department is regarded as unforeseen and unavoidable expenditure in the department, which forces the department, or which the department cannot budget for that information. That's because there's no baseline for it, or that's the reason there's no baseline for it. So the any expenditure in this regard will be incurred through savings on within programs within the budget of the department, and if that cannot be done, then the adjustment budget will be enhanced, or this expenditure will be included in the adjustment budget of the department. Yes, I think that's all from my side. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will cover the questions that we have not answered, and I think I will cover the start off with the CD1 from the Honourable Moore, and Honourable Smiles has also had a question regarding the CD. Following from what the Minister has indicated, basically we see a school in that we say that the school has reached practical completion. When that happens, basically we are allowed to occupy a school. But it doesn't mean that we have, the contractor has met all their contractual obligations. There's another phase thereafter which is referred to as works completion, and then finally you would have, when everything else is done, the contractor will go off the site. Now, in the 2012, end of the Kendrini Kwel calendar year, we basically had about only 6 schools that had reached that practical completion. 4 of those were actually opened at that time, one by the president and the rest by the minister. And by the end of March, in the terms of the financial year, we had had 17 in total, which we report on. And to just indicate now that presently, of that 49, 37 have reached that practical completion. And in the handover, we started in the first week of the third term in July. We did 10, there's 10 weeks in the term. We actually, this Friday, will be doing our 12th or 13th school in that handover. Now, that's with the 49. But what we have, we've already got contractors, implementing agents with contractors to be appointed in 201 other schools. Close to 60 of those, the contractors are on site, and then they're working on that. So some of these started even in 2012, and we moved towards not necessarily the construction, but the other work in that regard. Now, that's the 201. We also have issued another 60, which we are looking at using alternative construction technology. And that is expected to be the alternative technology should be done faster, but not necessarily, should not be necessarily more expensive than using brick and mortar. And further, after the minister had met with the president, the minister had directed that we look at those schools who are in the 15, 16, which is amounting to over 300. Some of, after, in the Eastern Cape in particular, the rationalization process has led to that being reduced as well. But just to indicate, in the 201, there are close to 50 schools that are in the other 8 provinces, including 25 in the Western Cape. 14 are already in construction. In fact, we're likely to get quite a few of those as the new academic year starts. Now, in the meeting of the minister's directive, as a result of the meeting with the president, we've been asked to look at all these schools. We would have to wait for the CD to come and build their school, and look at providing them with mobiles, temporary mobiles in terms of ablution, as well as classroom facilities. In fact, we've done work in that regard where we've issued expressions of interest, and in fact, those who have expressed interest will be having a briefing this week in the Eastern Cape. What that means is that in the next few months, before the end of the financial year, there are 221 of these schools. They will be provided with these temporary facilities, which we should then wipe out what we refer to as mud schools in the Eastern Cape. But that would not mean that they will not receive the other services as planned in terms of the infrastructure plan that would come. So in that way, we'd address the issues of the dignity of learners to certain rights, especially in terms of sanitation and water. Further, at the request of the minister, the CD list was opened, where there were other schools that would need replacement as such, which would be assessed, and this is another 1,000 schools that, after we've done the assessment, we will basically issue. So I think that's just in brief. We will probably come back to the committee with the details. But leading to the issue of the under expenditure of 1.2 million, basically the schools that we are issued out, if they were built, and if I had a magic wand, and they were done by tomorrow, we would need to pay out over 5 billion. That is there. And I think that March may have been at around 3 billion, but with the additional contracts we've issued,
That's over 5 billion. Our budget at that time, as it stood, we only pay as in terms of progress that a contractor or an implementing agent can show, and if not, there's no payment. So I think it would have been reckless and very negligent of the department just to go out to ensure that we come back to say we've spent 100%. The 1.2 billion is regrettable that we could not have had that put out, because I think it would have benefited the economy and the local communities who are working on these projects. But I think in that light, we would not have sacrificed that we pay people who have given us no services. But it's something that we're looking at as how to manage the alignment of the funds that are given as well as the construction. And I think we've highlighted this in the past, that the construction industry itself has particular practices that are not necessarily desirable in terms of our expectations of service delivery, which is what what we're going to currently look at. I think that's on the CD. There was a question on NIDU. The NIDU is as envisaged, reports to the minister as an independent, and be aware that they came out with a report in the past month. And in respect of the bill, what we are aware of is that we're not likely to get the bill passed to Parliament in this administration. That's what we've been informed. So we're likely to have to wait in the queue for the new administration to basically deal with all the bills that have been prepared now. I think on the Funza Lushaka, I think it's we take that up. I think the higher education is also looking at it, but to just assure the House that the transfers from our side, from the department to the universities, that there have been no delays in that regard. We're aware of the universities basically delaying the payment to learners, and I think with our colleagues in higher education, we'll take that forward. There's been announcements to indicate that there should be payment directly to the students. Just to indicate, let me take this, on litigation, I think on page 275, we basically, in the last financial year, it was 2.1 million, and in the previous year, it was 1.1. The terrain, I think in the last 24 months, it's just not education. Everyone seemed to want to go to the courts. So I think as a department, there are certain times we would settle, but sometimes that's seen by other people as weakness. But where there are instances we need to go to defend certain issues raised, we would do so. I think on the other hand, I think the report that the DDG has promised will help, will show that in those instances where we have succeeded in defending or winning court cases, there's actually costs that have been awarded to us. So the cost could have been higher as well. I think that report will give that clear indication. With regard to the textbooks, the Honorable Panchana about the third party, I think I don't want to be a representative of EduSolutions, but I would cite another example sometimes of where these things look very strange. In fact, we have a situation where we have IDT, which delivers infrastructure for us. And in Limpopo, they also do work for the Limpopo department, who is very unhappy with the manner in which they are conducting themselves and the progress they make. But we as a national department issued the same people 55 schools. And if you look at the progress there, they've completed most of half of those schools, sanitation and water facilities. So it's quite interesting. It's also about how the service provider is managed by the department and the clients that want that service. I think the other would be that in terms of textbooks in particular, I think going forward, provinces are autonomous and they will engage with service providers through the procurement procedures, but with textbooks in particular, I think the department with its procurement policy, as well as the looking at ensuring the central procurement, economies of scale, and getting the best price, I think some of the practices of certain service providers, they will have to rethink how they provide their services. I think the last one here you referred to was the AG and the integrity. I think we value the inputs of the Auditor General. The Auditor General is independent.
We welcome the unqualified audit. There are matters of emphasis which we are taking seriously, and we are putting in place measures to ensure that we have resolved them. In the current year, that it's just not about the audit. It's about also the service delivery at the end of the day.
Thanks a lot. I don't think I would give any person a second round. But as we said, we do have questions that we'll hand over to you that can enrich our report. Then we're meeting SAFE tomorrow. We'll speak to the CPTD there, because the underspending is, although for the budget it is small, but the underspending is in about 70-something%. When it comes to the ELC, we'll speak to them too, because there are things like the ECD practitioners that we have to bring up again. We have to bring up when it comes to principals and deputy, I think it's that agreement, the performance agreement. But what we would like to ask from the department, we know that when it comes to your budget, you are apex priority, and you receive the highest cut, you know, of all the departments. But when it comes to the BRRR report, are there recommendations that you'd like to make? And then we'll discuss it as a committee when it comes to adjusting your budget. Because we heard when the minister spoke to the provinces. But we know when it comes to provinces, it's concurrent and they receive an equitable share. But we also know when it comes to the grants that you receive that go to provinces, that if they are not working on them like you did with Limpopo, you withdraw it and you bring it back to the department. So could we have a discussion on that? You know, on the need for extra funds, because that is something that they would like us to recommend to, but will be up to Treasury, because Treasury will look at the pros and cons of any request. Because I had something in mind, you know, with one of the programs, but I can't remember. But please don't come with a sky. Yes, honorable member. All right. Fine. Acting HOD? DG? And I'm sure there's something you want to know. Just listen to the honorable member, please. What was Ms. Adam?
Thank you, Chair, for recognizing me. I just have a few questions that I would like to ask the department. The first one is concerning security in schools. We have seen yesterday that learners are still stabbing each other at school, and we have seen last week that learners are attacking teachers, and also the issue of Satanism. We have seen last week again on the TV that a learner killed a friend on their way back to school. I just want to know, what is the department doing regarding security, the protection of teachers and also the protection of learners at school? I know that this is a touchy one, but I think there's something that has to be planned and done by the department. The second one will be the progress on the rollout of laptops to teachers. It was agreed that it is a tool of trade. That how far are they? Because that will assist them to access e-community programs that are initiated by the department. And also I would like to know about the 27 subject advisors that were trained on multi-grade teaching. That how are they distributed in different provinces? Then I think the last one will be on the
AG's comment. I want to know the role of the internal audit team, because if they are working well, some issues are supposed to be addressed before they are discovered by the AG. So I want to know what is really happening inside. And finally, the AG complained about management regressed, that it has regressed regarding governance and financial management. I just want to find whether could it be that the management is demoralized or they are not coping? Because I know that they've got, under financial management, there are irregular expenditures. Thank you.
Mr. Parachi, there are certain questions that is on this form that we're going to give you. We spoke to irregular expenditure. And the AG, I'm not sure whether you received, not the AG, internal audit, gave us their roles and responsibilities that we as a committee should look at. But answer the sticky question about, because that is a program 5 question, you know, on what is happening within schools. You know, when it comes to the learner is very strict, and the teacher is very obedient, and it's not the other. Just shortly, Minister.
Yes, Chair, I think, so that we don't take too long. Mm-hmm. Around school discipline, as I say, and I'm glad that the colleague from the NSA is broader than the school, and the issues about school security, fencing, security, can't deal with bullying. And which are, so there's a whole spectrum of things that we're doing. From linking up to police stations, we have an MOU with police station, we're fencing our schools. Most schools in the Western Cape have CCTV cameras. But some of the things, to be honest, Chair, which is unfortunate, are a reflection of what's happening in society. So as you can check, almost all provinces are doing what they can in their power to deal with questions of safety in schools. Because as I say, some just come from psychological issues. I mean, if a child is an angry child, rants and still disciplined, you don't anticipate it has nothing to do with guards and security, but it has much more to do with being able to identify any signs. But the long and short answer, we're very concerned about that. And it's not a new thing. We, on an ongoing basis, recently there's Eastern Cape here, Western Cape here, we had teachers, I mean, a secretary planning the assassination of a principal.
Mm.
So it ranges from internal threats, external threats, conflicts, and there are different ways that we're trying to deal with it on an ongoing basis in terms of how it manifests itself. There's no one-size solution, and that's why we're having multi strategies to deal with it, because it presents itself in different ways.
Chair, we are open to that. We're prepared to just bring those to you. But just to indicate that for this current, the next MTF, basically all requests, in particular, we have aligned our activities in terms of the NDP.
Mm-hmm.
And we were requesting funds to take forward some of those recommendations of the NDP, but none of them have been, none have been provided with funding. But it's something that we will have to continue to discuss with the National Treasury. But we'll share that information in that meeting with the committee.
Yeah. And I think that will be important just to
put in writing what it is, so that if we don't really meet each other before we pass through the report, then, you know, we have something written down that we discussed as a committee. But I'll see whether... when you put in writing to us, and then the report writing go on, you know, just look when you come and meet us, if we can't put that into. Thanks a lot for that. To the report itself, I'd like to thank you for this comprehensive report that you sent to us. I tended to concentrate more on the report itself than on your presentation, because everything was within the report. And I think what was correct is that you didn't put your HR into your presentation, because you took your HR in each program as you went along. But it is within your report. And thanks, Minister, you know, for this opportunity that we had today to have you within our committee meeting, and we really appreciate it. We knew it was Cabinet, but we really appreciated it that you came. And that goes from the department itself and even the audit, because there are recommendations that we are picking up now too, that the audit committee says that you can change within the department, our policies perhaps that should come in. And then with the honourable member that came in late, we spoke to all their regular expenditure, because we wanted them to explain to us what is happening within the department. And then I think when it comes to education as a societal issue, when we have time, let us discuss it. The PC and higher education, your meeting venue is 535. Oh, sorry, S35. S35. I am sorry. No, this isn't 35. This is X, I think it's that one there. Yeah, down the corridor. And I'd like to thank all the members today that were at their best behavior. They were very good today. Yesterday, they were a bit unruly. Yes. You know, like a little small, like school children. But everyone... Yes, no. Yes. I don't know who gave them too much sugar. It was too much sugar. And therefore we had these problems. But thanks a lot. Anything you are going to say? Fine, the meeting is closed. See you tomorrow morning at 9:30. And the afternoon.